Proverbs 25. While you're turning there, I just want to thank the Joneses for having us over this afternoon. We had a really good time over there, and we did some fishing, and Ellie caught a bass, and that was exciting. I think I fished longer than them. They were off doing other stuff, and I was like, this is fun. I just never get to go, you know? And the kids all rode on the four-wheeler with Brother Luke, so we appreciate that. They had a lot of fun. It was a good afternoon. It was good to get to know some more. And although we got dressed, you know, out of our suits and everything, and he showed up with a certain red polo. And so I donned a certain blue T-shirt after that, and that's all I'll say about that. But it was I accidentally had the one shirt anyway, so I was planning to wear it. But we had a really good time, and we are thankful for their hospitality, even to us. So, and I also want to announce, so, and you know this, but I'm learning this, but the monthly fellowship is immediately following the service tonight. And so, with that, you know, everyone is welcome. Even if you didn't bring a dish, which is good for me, otherwise I'd have to leave. So we're looking forward to that directly after the service. So everyone's invited to stay for that. And then also, I would say this. I know I kind of joke, but I'm also serious about my struggle with learning names and things. And, you know, I'm going to get it. But if you don't mind, you know, when you leave, there's two options, really. Brother Jordan had some name tags back there, but I don't really want everyone to wear name tags. But if you just kind of remind me, just for the first few weeks, just what your name is when you leave. And but if I might try to say it first if I think I'm getting the hang of it. But that'll just help me. And but I would appreciate that. But with that, I do want to look at Proverbs 25. I want to read a couple of verses in here. Let me read verse 11. Proverbs 25 and verse 11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." I really like this verse. I like this thought about a word fitly spoken. I remember distinctly Brother Lentz at Flat Rock brought a devotion on this 16 years ago, and I always remind him of it because I really liked that devotion. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's just beautiful. You know, I have prayed a lot and will continue to and thought a lot about what do you preach, like your first Sunday there. And I really struggled with what to preach. And I want so badly to, you know, preach what the Lord would have me to preach. And I want to encourage you all. I want to challenge you. You've all had such a powerfully preaching pastor for the last quarter of a century. And I'm so thankful for him. I'm not just trying to pump him up. When I go to conferences, and Brother Titus has been there, when he's up to preach, I'm always just, I know that I'm going to get something powerful that I needed. And I'm thankful for that. But it's also very intimidating for me because I'm following that. And I know what you've all had the last quarter of a century. And so the last thing I want to do is come here and not give you anything. So this verse was in my head, a word fitly spoken. I want to give you a word fitly spoken. And every time. So this verse has been on my mind. There's something wonderful about a word fitly spoken. And I've experienced a lot of that lately from many of you. And for many, you ever just know someone that they just always know the right thing to say? They just know, in any given situation, they know what to say. I can't say I'm like that. I want to be that way. But there's been people in my life that I know I can go to them, and they're going to know what to say. Given a situation, or if I'm asking for help in a given situation, they just know what to say. And words, they matter. I know that's a very basic statement, but they matter. What we say, how we communicate, whether it's us speaking to each other or via text or an email or any other kind of communication. It's important, and the Lord cares about that, and His Word has much to say about how we communicate to one another. And so it matters. And I don't know why I keep going over to James for things, and then I talk to Brother Andy, and he says we were in James, in Sunday school. But I do want to read a couple of verses about the tongue and about our words. So if you're able, please turn to James chapter 3. I just want to read a few verses there. I'm not going to read all of them that I have in my notes here. But, you know, God's Word has a lot to say about our communication and our words. Let's just look at verse 2 of James 3, and I'll read a few verses down to maybe verse 5. It says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we may turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And you know, you can go on and read about that, but what we say is very powerful. It makes an impact on those around us, positively or negatively. This whole the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't believe that. Because I've heard things that have hurt me before. And I've also heard things that have encouraged me greatly. And so the Bible has a lot to say about how we communicate to one another, and it's important. There's a lot of principles about how we communicate and what we say. And like I said, so this verse, a word fitly spoken. And there's two things that I want to notice about a word fitly spoken for the next few moments. And that there's just two things I would think about. And the first one is that it's a right word. Just what we're saying in general. Pastor Hugin, he's always said there's a difference between having something to say and always having to say something, right? Our words matter in what we say. Just having, if it's going to be a word fitly spoken, it has to be a right word. Again, we hear these little sayings, but they're true. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I think I say that a lot in my house. But what does the Bible say? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So a right word, it's not a corrupt. The Bible says, don't let a corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So there's a word of, a right word can be, there's different things, under what is a right word. And when I say word, a word or words, what we're saying, it could be a word of encouragement, it could be a word of edification. There was a brother, when I was younger, it was before I was saved, and I was really hit or miss on church, because when you're lost, at least it was late for me, church was boring. Like, I didn't really want to go because I was lost, and I didn't really get anything out of it, although I felt good about myself after. I remember that. But there was a brother there at the time, and we were walking out to the van, because I was a van kid. And he said, I don't know exactly what he said, but he just encouraged me. Brother, he didn't say brother because I wasn't saved, but he said, you need to be in church. You need to be more faithful to church. And I remember that. And years later, the Lord saved me, and that man was no longer there. And I don't know if he's still alive. I'd love to tell him one day that I still think about that. And the Lord saved me later, and I'm like, I remember when he said that to me. And it could be a word of encouragement. You just never know. That was a small little conversation. He probably doesn't remember it at all. And I was probably 12 years old, and I remember it. And you never know. A little word of encouragement you give to someone, how much of an impact that would make. That's the right kind of word, just a word that edifies. It doesn't take much to make a big impact. And like I said, that could be positive, that can be negative, but a little bit of encouragement goes a long way. And I know that from personal experience, and I'm sure you do too. Look at Colossians 4, verse 6, just speaking of a right word. I got this new Bible for the ordination, and like the last chunk of it is concordance, so I got to get used to where the, it's just, I don't know, just thought I'd share that with you, but as I struggle to find it. But Colossians 4 and verse 6, we know this verse. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to, you ought to answer every man. You know, a right word is one that says that's with grace and seasoned with salt. We know salt, and I'm not going to go down that whole path of all the different things salt does, although it's a fun thing to do, but salt makes bland food taste better, right? I can't remember who it was this afternoon now. They were talking about fries and not putting anything on them at your house, but salt. I don't know if they put salt on it or not, but I think we were talking about ketchup at the time. But salt makes bland food taste better, doesn't it? It obviously it preserved it. Salt makes you thirsty, right? It makes you thirst. And so when we're talking about our speech and, you know, being seasoned with salt, there's a few different ways you could think about it. One of the things I thought about is our speech ought to make people thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The living water. It ought to be seasoned with salt. It said always with grace. You know, we shouldn't be. We just need to be careful about the words that we say. Don't just blurt things out. Think about what you're going to say because it makes an impact. It's just like you heard all these little phrases tonight. But I remember Brother Roland doing that. We used to do Sermon in the Sack with the kids before Sunday night service. And he did the toothpaste one time. And he talked about toothpaste. You know, the thing about toothpaste, you probably know where I'm going to go with this. So once you get out of the tube, you really can't get it back in, right? You know, that's how it is with our words. So we ought to be very careful about the words that we say. That's one thing that scares me. It's like, okay, I'm going to be speaking a lot more, which means there's more opportunity for me to say something that I shouldn't. And that scares me. But our words ought to be with grace, not hasty, not quick. We need to guard what we say. We need to be really careful about the things that we say. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself." You know, we got to be careful what we say. I read this recently, just in studying, but about the idea of saying something too quickly and then regretting what we said. And so I just read this. It said, in the old days when train travel was common, and people on long journeys paid for a sleeping car, a train was roaring across the United States. It was nighttime. Most passengers were in their bunks. But in one of the sleeping cars, the passengers were being kept awake by the cries of a small child. One of the sleepless passengers could stand it no longer. He raised an angry voice. "Can't you keep that child quiet?" he demanded. "Surely the child's mother ought to be able to control all this crying." A man's voice replied, I'm very sorry, sir. I'm doing the best I can. But the child's mother can't keep the poor child quiet. She's in her coffin in the baggage at the end of the train. She died yesterday." And the angry passenger, of course, apologized. I don't know if that's a true story or not. I just read it. But the point is, we got to be careful when, you know, you get in that situation when this is an example of getting annoyed about something and getting upset and then just blurting something out of your anger and not really understanding the whole situation and just regretting. You ever just say something and you just feel like just a loser after you say it? Like, I can't believe. But that's why we got to be careful. We got to be careful. It has to be a right word. What we say matters. And Proverbs 15, let's turn there. It's still in Proverbs, just a few pages back. Were we Was it Proverbs this morning? Was it 15? Or is it 11? It was 11. The scripture reading. But Proverbs 15, 1 through 4, it says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Okay? Like I said, the Bible has so much to say about our words. Verse number 2, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." So we see here that our words are very, you know, just the words we're saying. We're talking about a word fitly spoken. If it's going to be a word fitly spoken, it's got to be a right word. All right, not a foolish word, not a hasty word, but a word that's, as it said, gracious and seasoned with salt. Something that's going to edify, something that's going to build up. Not only is it the right word, a word fitly spoken, but at the right time. That's also very important. It's not only important to say the right thing, but it must be said, you know, at the right time. When those two things come together, it's a beautiful thing. It's still in Proverbs 15. I don't know why I turned back. Proverbs 15, verse 23. It says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season." How good is it? A word spoken in due season. Just saying the right thing, but at the right time. And, you know, I think there's sometimes where there may be nothing to say. Just, you know, someone might be going through something, and there may be nothing that you can really say, but just being there might be the thing. And but it's just matching those two things up, a right word at the right time. Isaiah 50, verse 4 says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." I want to know that. I want to be that. I want to have that kind of wisdom of what to say and when to say it and how to say it. You know, it's very important that we you know, strive to put all those things together that way. There's other word, you know, other examples of a word fitly spoken. It could be a word of prayer. You ever have just, I would think you would have someone just stop and pray with you. I think sometimes we don't do that enough. We do say, "I'm praying for you," and I appreciate that. In fact, I've gotten like so many texts and so many comments, and I believe it, you know, that people are praying for me, and I'm thankful for it. To me, it's a word fitly spoken. I'm praying for you, or just stopping and praying with them. It's a blessing and it's an encouragement. Sometimes, though, it's a word of rebuke. Sometimes that's what we need. I've had that. You've probably had that in your own life, and I'll get on it here in a minute. Like we're thankful for people. If you really, like, you might not be in the moment, but sometimes we need that. We need that word of rebuke, and I want to have wisdom on that too. There's a time to do different things, but we need it. If I'm wrong in some area, I need somebody. If I'm not seeing it, you know, we need that sometimes, a word of rebuke. And that's a word fitly spoken when it's needed. It could be a word of counsel. We talked about counsel recently, and I've gotten a lot of that lately too. There's been so many pastors and that have just said, "If you ever need anything, just call me." I have all these numbers. I should just start calling them to see what they do. And I'm sure they would do it. They would help me. And some of them have given me little bits of, you know, things here and there, just little nuggets of things to think about. And I'm thankful for that. A word of counsel is a word fitly spoken. And there's different ways of that. There's different forms of that, but we need it. Sometimes it's a word of challenge, you know, like similar to the rebuke, but just challenging. Taking the next, you know, how are we serving? When are we going to take that next step of service to the Lord? A lot of times we're afraid to do that because I'm giving up maybe some of my time. Or some other thing, and it's a sacrifice to do that. But sometimes we need that word of challenge. I'll tell you what. Another thing that's always a word fitly spoken is the gospel. Right? We always, and if we're lost or we're saved, we need it. You know, if I'm saved, but I like hearing the gospel preached. And when we preach the gospel to the saved, that's an opportunity to give God the glory and thank Him for that and praise Him for that. And that's something that's always a word fitly spoken. Romans 10, I'll just read it. It's in my notes, a few verses. Verse 8 and 9. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's talking about that word, and it's fitting for us. And that's something that I think we all could be better at. I know I could be better at that, just identifying opportunities and just taking opportunities. A lot of times I know it's there. It's just whether or not I'm going to take that opportunity to give someone the gospel. But it's always fitly spoken. And I love being around people that are very good at turning the conversation to the Lord. I remember going door to door with Brother Neese, and just this was years ago now, just taking a conversation, somehow like talk about the weather for like half a second, and then just pivoting and just giving him the gospel. And it was so natural to him. And he was so good at it. And it's always a word that's fitly spoken. And the Bible even says later on in that, how can they call on him whom they have not believed? How can they believe on him whom they have not heard? We're supposed to be telling them the gospel. They need to hear it from us. How shall they hear without a preacher? That's not just a preacher, like a pastor or a preacher. That's us. We're all supposed to declare the gospel to those around us. And it even goes on to say, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so a word fitly spoken, these are just examples. A word of prayer, a word of rebuke, a word of counsel, a word of challenge, giving the gospel. These are all words that are examples of words fitly spoken. And that's how we need to do. That didn't make any sense. That's how we, speaking of words, words are hard. That's how we need to be with our speech. Taking these opportunities with one another. Christ warns us about our words. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. This is a very sobering thought about our words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. And the Lord says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That is a scary thought. That'll make you kind of go back and rethink your conversations. Or go back and look at, the text conversations or whatever it is. Every little idle word, I'm going to answer the Lord for that. And you are too. And we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If we're saved, we're going to answer for that. And that's a sobering thought. We ought to think about that more. Just what I say. There's so many things in God's word that says how much he cares about our words. I mean, he cares about his words. Is he not? He preserved every word for us. His words matter. And ours do too. And we're going to be judged for that. And he's warning us in that in the scripture. And then there's a word that's fitly spoken. And that's saying the right word, the right words, but also saying that at the right time. And it says that is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. What a beautiful thought that is. But it doesn't stop there. In the next verse, it talks about, let me read it. Verse 12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is arise a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So we know how beautiful and how precious a word fitly spoken is. But it's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. But it also goes on. And I was taught this about teaching. And maybe you've heard this too. Specifically, it was about teaching Sunday school. But just about, in general, about teaching or preaching or trying to tell someone and teach. And that is, just because you're teaching doesn't mean they're learning. Just because you're teaching doesn't mean they're listening. And I know that because I know that there was a lot of things that I was taught and when I was in the teen Sunday school class, that I know I was taught, but then I had to learn them later because I wasn't retaining things, right? I know when I graduated high school, a lot of the things I was taught, I didn't have that down. I didn't have that memorized. And so, but there's something beautiful about an obedient ear. That's the thing. So it's a word fitly spoken, but on an obedient ear, it says, is as an earring of gold, an ornament of fine gold. In other words, that's precious, that's beautiful. That is, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. And the greatest sermon could be given, but it requires an obedient ear. There's two parts to this. And I think of Judas. I remember reading this or seeing this at some point in the last few years, thinking about, Judas had the best teacher. He had the best preacher. He had the best training. Like, he had the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with him. And he witnessed the power of God on many occasions in amazing ways that we can read about and only imagine. Yet, for him, he still betrayed. Yet, he was still, it was never real for him. It wasn't, it was everything that he witnessed and heard from the Lord Jesus Christ didn't fall on an obedient ear. And so it was never real. But a word fitly spoken is true, is good, but on an obedient ear is even better. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And in that, you can go back and look through the different examples throughout the scriptures. And I was thinking about what are passages of scripture where we see an example of a word fitly spoken on an obedient ear. And it's not always like just an encouraging situation, right? It's a rebuke in many times. I think of David when what he heard from Nathan, after he had sinned with Bathsheba and had Uriah murdered, and he was rebuked for that. And if we know the account, and Nathan ended up saying there at the end that thou art the man. He rebuked him on it. He pointed out that's this whole story I just told you was about you, David. And David obviously repented. He was guilty and he realized that. And that was a word fitly spoken in that case, but on an obedient ear. Now there were still consequences for that for David. But just the fact that we can go now and read, and we can read some of the Psalms, and we can read about how he got right with the Lord after hearing that. To me, that's a word fitly spoken on an obedient ear. There's other ones. Naaman, when he didn't want to listen to go down and wash there, and then some of his servants said, but you should. Were you if you were told to do something really cool, you would have done that. I know I'm heavily paraphrasing. Yeah, that's not exactly what was said. But they said, but you should do this. And so he did. And I'm sure he was thankful that he went and obeyed and did what he was supposed to do. When by God's grace you hear wise reproof and you're obedient to it, you tend to appreciate that person even more that gave it. And I was kind of mentioning that earlier, that some of the people that I look up to the most in my life are the ones that weren't afraid to tell me what I needed to hear. And like I said, I didn't love it at the time. I was not a fan of that. But I'm so thankful for it. And it makes me respect them even more later on after the fact. And I know it's by God's grace that, when I was given that reproof that I obeyed what they were telling me from God's word. But it's not. Like, that whole thing of respecting someone more because they told you what you needed to hear is a biblical principle too. Proverbs 9, verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. And I'm not saying I was a wise man when I was told what I was told when Brother Lentz was my teacher and I was in the teen class, but I love him for it. I do. I thank him often and I know I'm going to mention names a lot. I'm going to mention him a lot because he had an impact on my life. And he was there for me, and I'm thankful for it. But it's a biblical principle that, sometimes you need to say something to someone, and there's a right and there's a wrong way to do it, but they'll love you for it. And now not everyone, and you can study in Proverbs about the four different people types: the wise man, the fool, the simple, the scorner. But I tell you, when God makes that, when God convicts someone over something, they'll love you for it, you know. But there's just a right and a wrong way to go about things, and it takes wisdom. It takes wisdom, and I pray for that wisdom. I want to be able to encourage. I want to be able to, if I need to say something about something, I want to do it in the right way. You know, there's just no way that you ever try. There's been situations where I had to say something to a brother, sister in Christ, and I, in the best way that I could, try to say it, and it still didn't go over. But you try to do that, and try to do that with wisdom. And I understand that sometimes it's just, you just, what the message is, what it is, right? And we have to learn that and understand that. But there's other times where it was appreciated, and I want to be that way, to where I say things the right way, and I'm going to strive to do that, and I'm going to learn. I'm going to make mistakes, and you know that. But we have to be careful about the things that we say and how that we say them. And now, that doesn't mean if someone's preaching, my pastor Hugin, he would often say there's a difference between when I'm preaching and when you come talk to me in my office. When you come to me in my office, I'm not gonna yell at you. I'm not preaching at you. And I know from firsthand experience, there's been many times where I went and talked to pastor in his office, but we got to be careful about what we say. So Psalm 141, verse 3, a couple of things, closing thoughts on just fitting words in obedient ears. But Psalm 141, verse 3, you know, David here saying very, very, you know, he says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." That's what I want. You know, I want to say the right things. If I want to not say the wrong things. That's a very simple thought, but it's very necessary. So we ought to guard our speech. Ask the Lord to guard your speech. And how do we do that? How do we do that? Look at Proverbs chapter 4. How can I guard my mouth? How can I guard the things that come out of my mouth? Or how can I make sure that the things that do come out of my mouth or in my communication and in that text message be something that's fitly spoken? Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So here we see that it's a heart issue when it comes to what we say. And it says in the next verse, right after that, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." Right after, so it's a heart. How do I set a watch? How do I guard my speech? Well, I got to guard my heart. I got to keep my heart. And my heart, you know, well, the Bible says our heart, you know, the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we have to make sure that we're guarding our heart. And how do we do that? How do I make sure that my heart is, you know, because what's in your heart, what you treasure, what you think about, what you meditate on the most, that's going to be what comes out in your speech. And so we have to guard our heart. And so what do we spend time thinking about? The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so we spend time thinking about God's word. We are reminded of this in Sunday school this morning, and the verse was used then in Joshua 1. So I'm going to turn there, Joshua 1. And how do we, you know, in the context of that was going forward and prospering and serving the Lord. And one aspect of that is our speech. How do we give the Great Commission? Well, we have to say it, right? So how do we give the gospel, I should say? We have to say it. How do you teach? You know, we use words. We communicate. And so, again, this was read this morning. I'll read it now because it applies. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So once again, what we meditate on, what's in our minds, what's in our heart, that's going to be what comes out the most. So if I spend all of my time just consumed with the things of the world, you'll find this out. I really don't like to do anything with the news. It's just because you never even know how's it slanted and what's it like. If I could just find a source that just tells me what's happening, that's just what I want to know. But if all of my time, and this is just an example, and I say it because it's just not one of my things, so it's easy for me to say. If I spend all my time thinking about that, that's going to come out in my speech a lot. And I'll pick on myself a little bit. Come fall, I'll be into this football season. That's one of my things. We'll be having conversations, Warren. But if that's all that consumes me, and that'll be what I talk about a lot. And I've been guilty of that in my life, of just, that's what comes out. I'm not saying it's wrong to talk about a hobby. It's not wrong to talk about things you like and things you're interested in. It's just, it becomes wrong when it's all we talk about. Because we're not talking about the Lord. Like, how is it in comparison to my, you know, talking about the Lord? And, I was reading this over this, you know, how many conversations do we have like that where we talk about, this is what I was reading, studying this week, and it blessed me, and I just wanted to share it with you. You know, that kind of stuff. That's what should come out in our speech more than the other things. But if we're honest, many times it's not that way. And I'm going to tell you, I'm guilty of the same. And so but we ought to guard our speech from even things that they're not necessarily evil. It's just consuming most of our conversation and our time and our thoughts. Because what we think about is going to be what comes out the most. So we ought to guard the things that we say. And so, again, I read this one more time, Proverbs 15, and I know I went quick, and I'm just going to get nervous, and you have to bear with me, because I'm going to, I want to be better about preaching and things like that, but one more time, I want to read it. I'm in Proverbs 15. I was like, I couldn't find it, and there was a reason. I was on the wrong proverb. Proverbs 25, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's beautiful. It fits in with what's going on. You know, you can study that phrase, fitly spoken. And as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. And I'll tell you, I'm going to pray and do the best I can to try to communicate when I'm preaching words that are what the Lord would have you to hear, and words that are fitly spoken. I'm not always going to do that perfectly and right, and I'm going to mess up. But I would just ask that we try and ask the Lord to help us also to have an ear to receive it, an obedient ear. Because when that happens, the words that are said are honoring to the Lord, and it's received in a way that we're striving together, right? We're striving to serve the Lord, and we just want to continue doing that and pleasing Him with our lives. When we do that, it's going to be beautiful. It's beautiful for a word to be fitly spoken. It's beautiful to have an obedient ear. You just put those two together. It's just an amazing thing. And the Lord will be glorified. He'll be pleased in it. And like I said, that's what I want to give to you on a regular basis, and all just for the glory of God. He must increase, we must decrease, and we ought to put Him first in all things. So just let's meditate on that. The Word of God has much to say about our words, what we say, and how we communicate. And there's too many scriptures to touch on them all, but let's go, you know, as we leave this place, even in our own homes too. That's where I let my guard down the most, is just in my own home. I say things hastily, or I might say something quick to a child, and then I have to apologize for that, because that's not that's not right, just because I'm annoyed or something like that. So we can be guilty of this, not just out in the world, it's in our own homes, if not more so. So pray that that would be how we guard our speech and that we'd have obedient ears. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you that your word has everything about any topic in life, anything that we're how to live for you, including our speeches found in your word. I pray that we'd be obedient to what it says. Lord, that we'd guard our speech, Lord, that we'd make sure that the things that we're saying and communicating in whatever form is honoring to you, knowing that we'll have to stand before you and answer to you for that one day. And so it's very important. Father, I do pray that if anyone is here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that as they hear the gospel, Lord, and they've heard it many times, I know they have, just knowing Brother Titus, Lord, that if it be your will, you'd save them by your grace even this night. Thank you for saving me. And Lord, I pray that we would just want to please you. And this is just one of those ways that we can do that. So I pray you bless that thought. Help us to meditate on it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this time let's stand together and we'll have a couple of verses of invitation.